SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline with the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Best hour of your day now officially underway. Sirius XM Channel 159 Radio on the Sports Grid Network. It is Moneyline. It is a Thursday. We do have football tonight. What a weekend ahead. I'm Donnie Wrightside. He's Kevin Walsh. And it's good to be back, Kevin, with no sports on yesterday. It's good to have sports back today.
I see Donnie's in the zone.
No DRS.
Maybe I'd be willing to go along if I didn't leave with some scars from yesterday. From minute zero to minute 58, Western Kentucky covering the 7.5. Then the field goal goes up, and then they're down 10, and they can't get, you know, the simple, we'll kick the field. Like, they just do nothing right. They drop the first down pass on the drive, and all of a sudden JMU covers. And I bet all the sides in bowl season so far. That was my favorite up until this point. So that being a loser was a frustrating one.
It's tough. When you bet on meaningless football games, sometimes you don't get the results that you desire. And the reason I say that is you have a meaningful football game tonight, which I do think is going to stink, so I'll start there. But tomorrow, Kevin, we get the appetizer to the college football playoff, and it's going to be cold at Notre Dame. Then you flip it over to Saturday, and outside of the game in Texas, cold all across the board. Two NFL banger games, both of those in cold weather with fantastic games. I got to ask you this question first. College football playoff is going to be exciting, and we obviously spend a lot of time talking about that. And tomorrow, again, reamping up on that, and then Saturday, the Bulls will be live in studio. But you got to feel for the college football playoff a little bit, because the NFL is giving you two absolute bangers right in the middle of your football games. That's kind of tough for ratings. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, it hurts it. Listen, I am... Like, Don, if you ask me which... Rank the five Saturday football games.
Yes.
Coming in fourth and fifth are the NFL. I don't care. I don't need to watch I don't need to watch the Chiefs again. I don't need to watch the Steelers again.
I put Texas Clemson in the last place. Other than that, you make it an argument. Yeah.
I mean, listen, no, Donnie, like, if you told me people would put both NFL games 1 and 2, that's fine. Yeah. It's still the NFL. I think many would.
Yeah.
I know for a fact I care far more about the college football. The NFL, for me this season, has not provided me with as much fun. Like, again, and I know you're messing around, but honestly, Donnie, like, we had a doubleheader on Monday night.
Stinks.
Western Kentucky JMU into UNLV Cal was 1,000 times better.
No way.
1,000 times better than the Monday night than the Monday night garbage that we were handed. What's going to be interesting, though, Donnie, truly, because from the ratings end of it is, the college games are going to absolutely dominate television.
Yes.
Because the NFL games are on Netflix. We don't know how, it'll be tough to know how much the NFL is going to be banging up the college games. But I'll tell you this, Donnie, Netflix isn't going to do as well as they probably thought they were going to do.
No. And by the way, just having it on Netflix, it's not going to do as well as it would have been just on ESPN or ABC or NBC or CBS or whatever it would be possibly on. So that is going to hurt. And also, because I understand we're in a technological age. We really are, where it's like, hey, you should have multiple monitors, tablets, phones to watch on. I understand that. But the fact that you don't even have flippability is a problem. Because a lot of people are still like, Kevin, I'm going to sit in front of my big screen TV, 4K, and I want to watch football. Flipping between the college football playoff and the NFL game, impossible. Impossible to do. Because you have to get in and out of the app. That's just madness.
Yeah, listen, I don't know if I'm... I probably am to some degree, you know, spoiled with my own setup. But, like, I feel like most sports fans these days are going with a multi-TV setup. So I'm sure you're going to – I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But I feel like you're going to get a lot of people probably going. But like, I don't know, Donnie. Listen, why not? I don't care about bashing the NFL a little bit here. How many NFL games are better than Ohio State, Tennessee this week? Whole slate. None? Is the answer zero?
Pittsburgh, Baltimore is going to be a great game. I do believe that.
Oh, my God. Stop.
What do you mean, stop? Not. Maybe the best rivalry in football with so much meaning on the line?
Oh, my God. The games stink always. They're terrible.
Oh, come on now. Stop. Now you're being – now it's madness. Now you're going to get me to turn heel on college football. That we shouldn't have a playoff at this point. Don't get me down that path.
Don't get – BCS was better. Ravens, Steelers. Stop.
I'm invested. I'm going to be invested.
No, you don't even care about Ravens, Steelers. No, you don't. I know you.
What game is side-by-side with Ravens, Steelers? Is that the bad game with Clemson? Like that
I'd much rather watch Clemson.
No way.
I'd Clemson's much rather watch game. That.
Like, I like Clemson in the college football playoff because they are technically a blue blood over the past 20 years. But that game does nothing for me whatsoever. Like, I think Clemson is just a boring product overall, per se, going up against Texas. I would actually like the game better if it's different than the Texas game because I just think it's not going to be all that competitive from a I need to watch this standpoint.
I mean, look, it's good that you have a strong feeling on the side, but
– yeah.
And Clemson just got destroyed by Georgia in week number one. I'm not saying that didn't happen, but their last two games, Clemson, was a field goal game against South Carolina and a field goal game against SMU. Those were wildly entertaining football games.
Yeah. By the way, Alan Harris says, games are on NBC and Fox Saturday with neither going up against Ohio State game. Netflix is Christmas.
Oh, Netflix is Christmas.
Yeah.
That's right. I totally forgot that.
There we go. I like that better. Now the people that can flip, thank you for that information, Alan, because now, you know, again, point. I would have, most people would have found, don't get me wrong, like, man, Kevin, I sat around all day on Netflix. I didn't get to watch any football. What's going on here?
It's because I like that better.
You can flip back and forth. Yeah, I like this. You can flip back and forth now. I like that. So that, certainly helps.
They're lucky I got multiple televisions. I ain't flipping. I might not put it on. Maybe I'll find a good college hoops game or something.
Yeah, by the way, since college football is going to dominate Saturday, there's no college basketball this Saturday, right? Because we're the holidays.
You know what's funny is, sometimes you can, lay out, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder if on the national championship day, do they lay out college basketball?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to lay out constantly. But I imagine they lay out on the national championship game, which will be interesting. We'll see.
But by the way, I look at I don't know if it's being spoiled. Like, college football has been so good this year. The NFL is always good. The playoffs are coming up, which you get excited for. Let me ask you this question. And it seems to me worse off this year than ever before. And I don't think it has anything to do, Kevin, with the Eagles being 12-2, because Eagles had some pretty good seasons over the past 5 to 6 years. But I find myself, I don't give a damn about hockey, which I haven't in a long time because the Flyers have been bad, but they're okay this year. And they even have Michkov. I don't watch, Kevin, it's my home market. I don't watch a single second of Flyers hockey. Hey, I see it on Twitter. Hey, somebody scored. Great. I watched the highlight. That's all I get. The Sixers, who were supposed to have a fun season, obviously in turmoil, and that adds to it. Kevin, I don't watch the Sixers even for 1 minute for most nights. If I flip on, I might flip right back off or just to check a score. But again, mostly on social media, just following through the accounts that have it. College basketball. I haven't given a damn about college basketball and haven't for a while till after, but it seems worse this year to me. Like yesterday, Kevin, I didn't turn a single sporting event on, which is my joke when I woke up, like, hey, sports are back on because there's an NFL game. There was hockey on. There was college basketball. There was bowl season, Kevin. I didn't turn a sports station on yesterday to even get updates on any of it. Why? Is it just me as I get older? I don't feel like it's ever been this way like this.
I don't know. It's interesting, though, Donnie, because I can't sit here and say it's just you because then I could be the reverse. Like, I might be the crazy guy who made sure he locked in for the bowl games, kept tabs on UConn Xavier. It's one of us, right? Maybe we're representing each side of it, but I'm in on the college hoops this year. You know, I'm always focused on the NBA, so it's different.
And here's the thing, though. Like, once pro football winds down, I love college basketball. I love the NBA when we start getting to the playoffs. Why do I hate it so much at this point now? It's wild the way it turns out. It is what it is. It's Moneyline. It's a Thursday. We got a lot of important topics to hit. We'll be right back after this short.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back on Moneyline here. It's the way we do it. By the way, watching the replays in the morning, Kevin, on Sports Grid, you know, on TV, Samsung TV, I use it. Watched myself yesterday for a full hour prepping for the show, maybe critiquing myself. That's not what I wanted to talk about. I just wanted to throw that in as we do get some TV time now here on Moneyline, as well as Sports Grid On Demand, which you can watch us live. A lot of people out in the chat box having fun. Now, maybe this is because, you know, I am through and through a baseball handicapper. I love it. I love it. It starts in late March and it flows all the way through October. Playoff baseball is great. But as I say this, betting in for baseball in, let's just say, April, you're fired up. May, June, July, you're great. Then it starts to turn in August. It's like, okay, yeah, I love the handicap, but boy, my focus, like football season, college football and pro football is here. By September, I don't want to handicap a Major League Baseball game. Even if it's winning money or not, it's just boring. I can't believe we're talking about it. Then it ramps back up in the playoffs. But the reason I say this is, I love football. September, I mean, all the way through. Doesn't matter what game it is, Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, Sunday, awesome. And I find myself now sitting in December, which maybe it's a run of games that aren't that exciting that we're getting. I actually physically like feel like I'm about to get ill for Denver and the Chargers tonight, Kevin. And it's a game that means a ton. And sometimes that's all you can ask for. But for us as prop players and excitement of one game, I like the under tonight, which means I'm not expecting fireworks. And when I say, you know what? The Rams and the 49ers games, which didn't have a lot of points in it, but the expectation was, hey, fun on both sides. Good wideouts here, good quarterbacks here. Fun defenses, a game that we should all enjoy, and it was horrendous. But tonight I go, all right, you got Nixon Herbert. Is anybody throwing for more than 250 yards between those two tonight? You just look at some of the stats for Herbert, who barely throws, it feels like, for 200 yards anymore. And you go, okay, great. Donnie loves his props on the ground and running backs here. What the hell running back are you picking out of this game tonight, which you love, which they're all like 30 yards apiece? They go, okay, wideouts. Got two of them, Ladd McConkey, and then you got on the other side, Courtland Sutton. Outside of that, good luck. Like, am I wrong tonight? Like, I'm not excited?
No, you're not wrong. Here's just to pull in the conversation that we're having, though.
Yeah.
An NFL Sunday is still very, very tough to beat because every NFL game to some degree feels like it matters.
Yes.
You probably can find an angle on it.
Yes.
And you can't get bored because there's so much going on, right? Mm-hmm. But what I think, and especially when you look at just the schedule that Donnie and I have worked this season alongside Joe, is most NFL games are honestly not that good. They're just not.
Yes.
Now, the best NFL games are still amazing. When you get like Lions-Bills, even though, and I'm not talking about because there was points. I'm just a game that is flowing
great
like that.
Plays,
you're like, man, this is
forth,
awesome.
Bangers
right?
Left and right. Fun. 100%. Yes.
100%, right? That is still like, it's still very, very then difficult to beat the NFL at its absolute best. But when you take and isolate a football game, you're like, woof, man, what is this decision making? How is there another commercial on? How did he just throw that interception there? Oh, look at that. It's our 14th penalty of the night. This isn't all that great. So, you know, and here's the thing. We head into tonight's game and we'll find our angles. Donnie, I actually liked under in Niners-Rams. But mind you, 48.5, 49.5, that total?
Under being 44. It's like, hey, we still got something out of it.
That game went under by a full 30 points. I mean, that shouldn't even really be all that positive. You know, when people like to, wow, how does Vegas know they're always so right on the number? It's like, well, unless they set that total at 18.5, they didn't know what was going on heading into that game. So, you look at tonight's game, Donnie, and like it's pretty incredible that that's how you feel. This is a game between two playoff teams tonight.
Yes. Like, I shouldn't be thinking this way, but I go like, because I know what we watch in the excitement. Because if it was just like, hey, Kevin, we're just going to take a side and you root it on, well, then you got the whole game to root it on to see how it turns out. Or a total, which, again, I might be playing just straight on the under tonight. But from a prop perspective, there are so many low numbers, but at the same time, it's like, I can't believe I went Vela again tonight. And he had one catch for 8 yards, and that's what he deserved. Which, again, is up to the handicapping what you have. But when you have a game like this on a Thursday, it's a divisional game, and it's like a playoff atmosphere. Like, yes, Jim Harbaugh is punting from midfield at 4th-and-1. He's doing that tonight in a close game. Those are the struggles that you have where you try to balance out and, you know, have it underway. But we will talk more NFL because there's a lot to talk about tonight's game, some angles. But since you're not here Wednesdays, there are some hot topics that come out. And yesterday was one of the more fun shows I had, even though we barely had, for me, a sports night. Like, hey, good to look for. I told you, I didn't even watch a single sport last night. Had a great night of sleep, woke up fired up. Let's see what we have today. But, Kevin, the NBA just keeps on, like, giving me layups here, left and right every day, when they don't even have basketball games on.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just so simple where, like, Kevin Durant's like, you know what? Enough is enough. Put the mic in front of your face. Look, I know it's my job, and we make a lot of money, and I'm supposed to promote the sport, but you got to be kidding me with the All-Star game. Four different teams. One's a rookie team, up to 40, like $1 million at stake, which means, like, 50 grand per player, which that's, like, a quarter falling out of their pocket. Are we at the point where we don't need the All-Star game anymore in the NBA because we get enough All-Star game through social media and everybody watches every game? Is it a time where the NBA goes, we just don't need this break and let's just have our regular season play through it and maybe not have as many back-to-backs? Like, are we at that point yet?
I mean, again, yes, get rid of the bat. That's a whole nother thing. Here's what I'll say about the All-Star game format.
Yes.
I took the chance to read it and everything, okay?
Yes.
Ultimately, if they said, hey, we're just going to do East versus West, they'd be fine, right?
Yes,
like,
correct.
They listen too much to people complain about the All-Star game. I am telling you this, though. The format that they are putting forward will probably work.
It won't be. Put it this way. What's the chances, Kevin, this gets done again identically next year? I go with 5%.
I say high. And I will tell you this. If you are true to what you've said, they put something in this format that is the most up-your-alley NBA thing maybe in your life, which is Shaq, Chuck, and Kenny drafting the teams.
Now, you know what it's going to be good, though, Kevin? When they crap on this entire thing while they draft guys. That's what I'm going to like. I hope they make a mockery of it tonight or whenever.
Which is, again, why those guys are absolutely awful and they shouldn't be in the position that they're in. But that's a whole nother thing. It's becoming a consensus at this point, too. People are like, why are the NBA ratings down? Anyway, here's Chuck to tell you nobody knows how to play basketball anymore.
Stop it. If I railed every day on social media, the NFL stinks, the ratings wouldn't drop, Kevin. The ratings would go higher.
Not you.
Nah, we'll be right back.
You railed on SportsGrid every day. Wrong.
Wow.
Yeah.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And now, back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Bow, bow, bow. Yeah, let's keep down the same path of anger because it goes across the board here. Where maybe it's just me and I get upset because it was way back better in the past where the NBA, if you just said to the players, and I blame the players more than anything. It's not like, hey, the NBA isn't trying to do different things. The NBA is trying to do different things at the All-Star break because the players keep messing it up. Like, hey, the biggest stars don't want to dunk. Great. We'll get you guys that don't nobody ever heard of, which we don't want. Instead of saying, hey, look, you guys make a lot of money. Why don't you give back to the fans? Superstars, get in the dunk competition. Have fun, people would watch. Nope, we're good. Even sometimes in the three-point competition. Nah, I don't feel like doing it. But even more so in the game itself, when if you just went to the locker room and go, guys, I'm just asking you for a slightly higher intensity to play a pickup game here with all of your friends where it's not embarrassing. Yes, you want to go 159 to 148? People will love that here. We just can't go 289 to 255 where it's no defense and you shoot from half court and embarrass the game.
So, to be honest with you, Donnie, a few things. It's not a problem when the game has 250 points scored. The problem is when the final score is 200 to 140 or 200 to 170. Like, it has to be close. That's what you need a level of suspense within it. Nobody likes blowouts. They're not enjoyable. And we've gotten to the point a little bit where in the All-Star games, Donnie, they're shooting threes. One team's hot. One team can't hit. And it becomes a big problem. So that's where your things are getting messed up, right, from that end of it. With the dunk contest, It's very interesting because I understand why my guy will get dragged into the center of the blame game. Because LeBron became really, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about this with the NBA history, but it feels like the first big star who was dunk contest level to be like, I'm not doing it, yes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Vince did it, Kobe did it, MJ did it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Donnie, guys after LeBron, Blake Griffin, still did it, right? So that's why it is a struggle for me to understand why Ja Morant and Anthony Edwards at no point did the dunk contest. Like, I don't know. Like, is it really fair to be like, well, they didn't do it because LeBron didn't do it? Because I don't know. Like, somewhere we got lost in the dunk contest where for like we spent like 10 years being like, why won't LeBron do it? Like certainly we could have shifted our focus to like, hey, anyone, like if they just said the dunk contest, we will pick who it is. Anybody who has been in the league for the first three seasons is eligible.
Yes.
Like that would not be like that, Donnie, is a nice middle to what you want, which is if you are in the NBA, you're eligible. We pick and you have to do it, which yes. I get, but it's just not feasible. But they're like, listen, if you're in the NBA for the first 3 years, we're going to put you in the dunk contest. It's like, all right, I understand it.
Yes, and embrace it. Like, dunking is part of these kids' childhoods where they are great dunkers. Like, I just rather go party or what happens if I don't win against this guy. Like, but that's not the name of the game. It's growing the sport. Yeah. Like, you know, if the best 3-point shooters, Kevin, were like, you know, hey, I'm never going to compete in this because I just don't feel like it matters. Like, you just, it's not about the players themselves. It's about what you're giving back to the fans. And the fans are resoundingly telling you this isn't acceptable here. And the easiest, like the NBA All-Star game is the easiest fix. Guys, just care a little bit more about defense where it's not a 3-on-1 fast break, triple back reverse dunk every single time down court.
Yeah.
People would enjoy that game. And again, the All-Star game is always going to get watered down from the 80s and 90s because we have social media. We see these guys every single night. So it's not as cool to be like, wow. Like, I never, like, saw Magic Johnson up close. Like, no, if Magic Johnson played today, he'd be like, all right, that's Magic over there. What's the big deal? I see him every night on 75 clips at this point. So there is something to that. But the NBA has an issue. Hopefully they can fix it. I don't think this new way is going to do that. They'll try again. The NFL is going so far, which I give the NFL respect. Because I always like to say I'm one of the first guys who goes, just get rid of the Pro Bowl. It's making me violently sick when I watch it because it's not football. There were a couple games, Kevin, where they didn't even tackle to the ground. And even Roger Goodell was like, done. You put this up next year. And they lasted like another 2 years. Like, there's not enough. But now, Kevin, the bullet point on ESPN today is the NFL adds a game showing a punt contest to the Pro Bowl. But at least they understand the concept is like, we're no longer going to play games. Like, if NBA All-Star Weekend, Kevin, had nothing to do with the game itself, I actually have more respect for the NBA at this point. How about that?
I get it. Donnie,
fun, meet and greets, signatures, have them in like some stupid competitions and still have a dunk competition, still have the 3-point contest, but just not have the centerpiece be a game. Like Sunday night was not the All-Star game, Kevin. It was actually All-Star weekend was Sunday night. I'd actually feel better about the product at that point, but I don't think it's going to go away. It makes the NBA money, even if it's not a great look. Hot topics across the board. We continue to rock and roll. It's right here on Moneyline, Sports Grid Network, Series 6 on Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I mean, we are set, Kevin, by the way. Like, if you like the holiday season, the gifts that keep on giving, sports is going to provide that to you. Again, we do have what's on paper should be a good football game between Denver and LA and the Chargers. And I say to myself, sometimes these games surprise you, but I'm not all that excited for it. It'll be handicapped. The boys will be on set. We'll make the best of it. Even if there's a million commercials and every touchdown, if there's three or four of them, you won't get live on TV. We'll make sure it's worth your while. But then I say, Kevin, tomorrow, you do have Friday night college football and a good game. Indiana, Notre Dame, it's going to get very good ratings. You flip it over to Saturday, two really good NFL games on paper. The same thing with the college football playoff, three games there. A full NFL set on Sunday, Monday night football. Then you flip over to Christmas Day, a couple of really good NFL games. You got the NBA that people enjoy on Christmas Day as well. So the next week and a half to 2 weeks, which will include the following week, which is New Year's Eve and Christmas Day, or excuse me, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, some more college football playoff action, which I think is absolutely spectacular. But let me ask you this. Here's the concept I don't actually like. I could be wrong. The college football playoff being mixed in with New Year's Day bowl games.
Okay.
Should we not just be on our own at that point? Like, why are we mixed in with college football bowl games?
Now, let me take a look, because you're saying that they're playing at the same time, or are they doing it like they're doing Friday where it's like an appetizer?
Well, no. Like, I'm just saying, like, the games, I think, are on New Year's Day, right?
I don't know. So then I'm not following what you're saying.
Is there a New Year's Eve game? Like, what I'm
saying
is,
there's one New Year's Eve game, and then there's three on New Year's Day. Or you're talking about
New Year's Day
Peach Bowl? Yes,
yeah,
three.
Now, there's three New Year's, but no. I'm saying that the three games on New Year's Day are just playoff games and nothing else?
Yes, from what I can tell.
So I take it back. Okay, then I take that back. Because I thought it was lined up. I must have looked at the different date. So I'm all right.
Yeah, New Year's Eve, Donnie, they have like the buffet of games into the night game, which is going to be Boise against either SMU or Penn State.
Yeah, they got to get off New Year. By the way, do you remember when they tried to shoehorn them like new tradition, and after the ratings tanked, the sponsors like, you do that again, we'll never invest. They're like, okay, once every like 6 or 7 years, we might have to do that just the way it falls. Fantastic.
If I remember correctly, Donnie, that was Alabama against Michigan State in like a 30-point shutout.
Was it Clemson blowing out Ohio State in the other game? Like, I think they might have been bad football games too, because I remember being out at dinner with that on the TV. I want to say Ohio State Clemson. I could be wrong though, but I don't think they were good games. But I remember when it first came out, like, this is going to be a new tradition. I said, you are going to have divorces in households where the husband or whoever's a college football game goes, like, I don't even want to go out. Like, the best games are on tonight, and you want me to go to like a bar at 9 o'clock where I can't hear anything. What a terrible concept.
Yeah. It is interesting that there is one on the New Year. So let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, so this thing is going to start on a Friday night to a Saturday, right? And let's just say this format's going to stick around for at least next year. You're like, okay, that's probably exactly how they want it.
Yes.
But do you think us doing this Tuesday, Wednesday, is them being like, no, we love Tuesday, Wednesday? Like, we think that's an enough days off? Or they're building around New Year's Eve and New Year's Day?
You talking college football?
Yeah. Round two.
It's just the college football ingrained in, we always have a lot of bowl games on those days, and we're going to keep that going. Because you know me, I'm an advocate of remove the bowls from the situation. Like, nobody gives a damn if it's the Rose Bowl. It's the college football playoff. If it wasn't called the Rose Bowl, like, oh, well, the ratings are down because it's not called the Rose Bowl. And like, nobody gives a damn about the Rose Bowl anymore at that point. I just think it's from a standpoint of, we've always had this tradition, which I want to move off. And by the way, you know me, I'm a big NFL guy. NFL next year, step off on that Saturday. Let college football roll all the way through by themselves in that spot. Because I don't know if they thought it out or like, you know what, college football is becoming pretty big. Let's go toe-to-toe. Like, the NBA might be getting ratings now. Let's just wipe them off of their biggest ratings day of the year just because we can. But I actually do. I don't need the two games. The NFL games, I'll love it on Saturday, don't get me wrong. But I don't need them there. Like, ooh, thank God the NFL's on. Like, no, I don't need that.
Let me just say this, okay? One, I've been saying that since they've been abusing the NBA, but I know that you've taken some joy in them abusing. I get it.
Yes.
I think it speaks to what college football is doing, Donnie, that even you were like, man, leave it be. Like, but what I, like, the NFL does not need this, all of this real estate. I understand that it's like, well, if we can have it, we're going to take it. But again, like, man, the triple header that they announced, Donnie, the next Saturday, I think it is, right?
Yeah.
Which you laughed at. You're like, ooh, that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not only is that triple header then not that great, you know what's terrible? The Sunday slate. It's atrocious.
Yeah.
No, it is. If you look at it, like, they are watering down their own product just to be everywhere. And it's not necessary. It's not. Like, I don't need NFL Saturday, Don.
Yeah, we don't clamor for this, like, October 5th, Saturday. Ooh, NFL game, Saturday. Like, no, we like college football. We like to watch it play out. Now, I get the NFL's like, college football's winding down. Let's put it in here. And I'm pretty sure that those two leagues, or should I say NCAA and NFL, like, converse years in advance. Like, okay, we're going to put this game on this date at this point. But those are two really good games. Because it would be funny if it was like, hey, we're going to put, let's just say, you know, let me just bring up the NFL slate for Sunday. Just give you two basically random games. Like, okay, New England, Arizona, Carolina is going to be the 1 o'clock game. And then Rams, Jets is four. Like, college football's not really worried too much about that. Pro guys will watch it. But they're giving you, like, here's two of our best games of the weekend. We're throwing them on Saturday, which I guess 5 years ago, I'm like, hey, that's pretty cool. There's no college football outside of some meaningless bowl game. And people are clamoring more for football now. And Saturday's a window they can make a lot of money. But now you're saying, college football is going to have primetime action in playoff games, and you're throwing two of your best games out on Saturday to go toe-to-toe as if you're trying to, like, wreck college football, which isn't going to work, but I don't know how devious the NFL thinks they are.
But, and like, I don't know, you can't convince me that the NFL... But here's the thing, Donnie. These Saturday games are only exist because the NFL is like, well, we got to get on Christmas. Like, no, you don't, man. You do not need Wednesday games, because here's the other thing, and they showed us this a long time ago that they do not care one bit.
Yeah.
But now, Donnie, these teams playing on Wednesday have a nuts advantage going into week 18.
Yeah. This,
like, which never existed ever. So again, they do whatever they want.
Monday night playoff matters.
Right, yeah, that was the huge one, that because they announced it in season. Like, by the way, we're playing a Monday nighter. It's like, what? But again, like, that's them, and they don't care, and it is what it is. I just, for me, man, I understand there's NFL games on. Okay, I am just telling you, the only reason I will watch those games is because I've got the television capacity. I do not care relative to the college football games. I don't care.
Yeah. No,
it's not appointment viewing. Like, does it feel can't miss to you, Donnie? Honestly.
The NFL games?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Stars all over the place. Like, they're two great games. Like, I need that. Like, that's my focal point. Even though I love college football, will be the NFL on Saturday.
Yeah, see, that's wild. I get it, though, right? I mean, it's why you're on PFT and not CFT, maybe.
But exactly. Yeah.
Like, you know, the pro game is your game.
Like, I like those games. And then I get a laugh out of this, Kevin. Like, we're looking at some of, like, the props on who's going to win the national championship. And it just comes right back up. Like, let me understand this. There are two teams getting a bye that are coming in at 60-1 to win the national championship. They're getting a bye. Like, you don't even have to play round number one. You survive already. And then you only have to win three games from here on out, 60-1. Like, I start to laugh at stuff like that when I see it again.
It's not good. It's not how it should be. Again, we should be breaking down Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia, Miami.
Oh my!
If I had my way.
Oh my! Now you know what NFL, like, we wouldn't even be looking at those NFL games. The big boys were actually out there on Saturday. We got more hot topics to go. It's Moneyline on a Thursday, right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Donnie and Kevin. Come on now, Thursday Night Football. Who says no?
Maybe me.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live on Prime Video tonight, Kevin. The Broncos and the Chargers, the 9-5 Broncos and the 8-6 Chargers. The Chargers do win this game. Both of these teams will have identical records, but the Chargers will have a series sweep over the Broncos, therefore be ahead of them in the playoff race. Bo Nix going to take on Justin Herbert. He's been banged up on the season, Kevin. Both of these teams on Pro Football Focus in the top five for defenses. Both of these offenses leave a little bit to be desired, but if you look over the past couple weeks, let's just say month, Denver's Broncos, just looking at the points per game, has been very, very good. If you're looking at the Chargers and you're saying some recency bias and the defense is good, they gave up over 500 yards to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last week, and Baker Mayfield went nuts and Bucky Irving went nuts. This number is low. Theoretically, for me, I look at this game and I say to myself, short work week, two divisional teams that know each other, playoff atmosphere. I don't know how many big plays we're getting on both sides per se as sort of like a game script. So I lean under. And I also, if I'm looking at the side, slight lean on the Chargers just because they're home late season on a Thursday night. But that's the way I see it tonight. More than likely, I don't know if we're getting to, let's just say, 45 points here.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'll be on the total. Early look for me is on LA. I'm unsure if I'm going to make that wager just because I have a Chargers updated win total. So maybe I'll just kind of let that handle it when it comes to this game. Here's what I'll say, Donnie, and this is the case for kind of all the bad games. If you bet them live, they can turn into good games. And I think sometimes, you know, coming in, if you will, dry, Donnie, isn't a bad thing. Because then you can jump in and flow it and get in drive to drive or get in on depressed numbers throughout the football game.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Correct. I hear you. That's the way you probably got to play it tonight at that point. But I do think, again, you got two wideouts to look at. I'm just not as – like, even as – like, when Pittsburgh played, you know, Cleveland a couple weeks ago, it's like, ah, it's going to be interesting. Maybe get some snow. And then you see a fourth quarter where they're just going nuts in the snow. And Jameis Winston, people are talking about he's got to be the highest-paid quarterback in football the next year. You're crazy if you don't make him a starter. Now he's not a starter anymore at this point. So you do get some fun stuff to watch out. But I do hate the ones like slow start to the game. Tons of commercials, injury here, one big play finally, flag comes back, 14-9 final, because we did see a crazy low-scoring game between the Rams and the San Francisco 49ers, but it is what it is. Excitement level for me, not all the way up there, but again, as Kevin says and is right, you start winning some bets in this game, oh, there's juice, oh, there's a lot of fun, and you watch it play out. And that's the way sometimes you have to go about your business.
And again, like that's why I do think what we get to do at night is for a game like this, Donnie. I'm just saying, like, I'll just from I know how you usually bet, right? Yeah. Like if you have profit boost, okay, great. But why come in tonight, 3-4 parlays, dumbed down, rooting in and spend the whole game hoping Kamani Vidal gets, you know, 25 yards.
Catch. Yeah.
Right? When you can just, hey, listen, I'm gonna let the quarter play out, end of the first quarter, couple bets here, halftime, couple bets there. Like, don't you think you would probably like do better, honestly, considering how you're currently feeling the game out?
Yeah, no, there's something to that. But also, it's like, you know, you start the game dry. It's like, ooh, Quentin Johnson over 25 yards. One catch, 26 to start the game. Like, nah, I can't bet the guy, even if it comes up at 41 is his new prop number, because he already got the 27. Now I'm going to get angry because that number would have hit. Now it's got to go deeper than that. So there's something to be said by that. But I do like dipping it at the half, most likely, on touchdown props, because they double and triple. Like, hey, I think Kamani Vidal might score a touchdown. I'm not even looking. Plus 350 at halftime.
Yeah.
7-1 all of a sudden. It's like, you know, you never know, one possession. And you do see things like that happen. I remember Jonnu Smith was a 7-1 touchdown at the half in the one, the Dolphins-Rams game, I believe it was. He ends up catching like a 40-yard pass. He gets tackled at the goal line. I didn't bet him. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, I would have had him in a heart attack if he was down at the inch yard line when I had a 7-1 ticket on a touchdown price at that point. So there is some stuff that you can certainly get involved with that way as it goes. Now, we talked about Thursday night. Boys will be live on set tonight. We'll have some fun. We'll get the handicaps out there. We'll be with you all the way through. Let me hear you about this stuff that we talk about, like the New York Jets. Have you seen any of the news popping up this morning on Woody Johnson or anything? Have you seen the headlines?
I have. man, I've not read the reports, and I know they're coming from credible places, but I don't know if the report that they passed on Jerry Jeudy because of a Madden rating is something that should be reported, because that's pretty unbelievable. That sounds like somebody who was kind of backdoor slandering and it turned its way into an article, because that's a little preposterous, Donnie. When was the last time Woody Johnson was on Madden? I mean, come on.
You know what I'm saying? But here's how it's so preposterous that sometimes I think these things are true, because I've said it time and time again, pro sports are not in your normal stratosphere. And let's just equate it to, Kevin, you own a burger joint around the corner. It's like, all right, Kevin's Burgers. Let me go over there and get something. Hey, that guy behind the counter, which is you, well, he's kind of rude. And boy, that burger wasn't that good, and it was overpriced. And you see that same guy every single week, religiously, on Tuesday and Thursday nights, buying your burgers. That's the NFL. But real life is, you don't like that guy behind the counter, the burger sucks and it's overpriced, I'll never go out there and I'll tell everybody to avoid your shop. That's real life. You say, well, why are you saying that? In the NFL, owners can do whatever they want and drive their franchise into the ground, which is essentially what Woody Johnson has done since he's been in control of the New York Jets. But Kevin, every year they make more money. Every year the franchise is worth more than the next. So when owners go, yeah, I do some dumb things, but it doesn't even impact my bottom line, which leads me to believe that some of these stories are true. Because can you imagine? Because you know it's this way. Like, and Jim Irsay, which he hasn't even like popped off this year all that much during the season, which is crazy. But I can imagine like showing up on a Thursday to work. The game's coming up this weekend. He goes, yeah, Joe Flacco's going to start this weekend. But I'm going to go out to lunch and hit a couple golf balls and play the guitar. But just make sure you're not starting Anthony Richardson. Like, this guy's been here in 2 weeks. What do you mean? Okay. And make a phone call. Shane, come up here. Jim Mercer just said, we can't start Richardson this weekend. Why? Because he's the owner. All right, well, we got to start Flacco. Like, I believe that sometimes.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean, kind of felt with that whole thing.
Like, owners are awful sometimes.
No, listen, yeah, guys, I mean, you've talked about it because you're more aware of it than I am, but, like, Lurie gets involved sometimes.
Yeah.
And he's, like, supposed to be, like, one of the good ones.
Yes.
Right?
Like, hey, we're going to take Justin Jefferson. No. I think Rager's the right spot here. Let's go ahead and let's do it. And Howard Rosen was like, well, I'm going to always be employed here. You're not going to fire me unless I tell you not to do this stuff. And you know what? We just won't let anybody know who actually drafted. That was the draft pick, which is how you know it wasn't Howie Roseman, because he would have been screaming that wasn't my pick. We'll be right back. One more segment to go. 20 line on a Thursday, getting you ready for Thursday Night Football.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Always hot topics in these streets, and Kevin and I, you know, don't really get to talk much on Tuesday on the air or Wednesday, which means Thursday is almost like the gang meets back up and hot topics fly all week long. One of those was Kirk Cousins. Now, the reason why it's really relevant is we sat there on that doubleheader on Pro Football Today and watched these games play out. And as always, like, I miss a lot of NFL football at 1 o'clock. And after like the first 2 weeks, I don't go back and watch like play by play because I have a feel for the teams and you can get some statistics out and see parts of the games and understand. Or it's not like, hey, I never saw this guy start, or what offense are they running? Is this wide receiver really good? I haven't seen him before. The reason I say that is I hadn't been paying all that much attention to Kirk Cousins because a lot of times when you're handicapping games, if that team's not coming up, you're not really getting into the true X's and O's. Like, they're a middling team, 500, Bijan every once in a while, I'll take, but they expect Kirk Cousins to be a solid quarterback this year and they're hanging around. And then as I was doing numbers for that Monday night game, I go, wait a second. Kirk Cousins hadn't thrown a touchdown pass in 4 weeks. Boy, that's an anomaly. I don't even understand. But you know what? We'll be fine on Monday night because you take it on the Raiders, one of the worst defenses structurally in football you can find in a dome. You're really going to be able to get after it. And being able to watch Kirk Cousins from the first quarter all the way to the fourth quarter, I was saying to myself, boy, you know what? Sometimes I really wish I would have paid more attention to the Falcons over the past couple weeks because I would be saying this is an absolute fade team because this quarterback is a shot fighter. And that's not even the concept I'm talking about. Like, oh, maybe it was a missed wager because I only had him really to throw one touchdown, and he did that. But moving forward, I tweeted during that game, Kevin, like, he can't start anymore. Like, you can't think you're going to make the playoffs with this guy there. Love the move to Michael Penix and the perfect spot because I say this, Kevin, multiple times. You could have run Kirk Cousins out against the Giants and beat him. Be like, hey, well, Kirk beat the Raiders and Kirk beat the Giants. You know what? You weren't beating the Commanders after that then because you actually need a pulsing quarterback. I love this Penix mood. And now I look at this and make, you know what? That Giants-Atlanta game, I have no business watching. I want to see Penix, and I think he does well.
I think he does well. I don't think you're wrong at all. I think what you said, though, is to me the most important part. They're a 7-7 team who was going to be a big favorite with Kirk or with Penix.
Mm-hmm.
You win that football game, you need to win one of your last two, which they would be favored to do, to finish above 500.
Yes.
Ultimately, if you're Raheem Morris and if you're Kirk Cousins, you could easily turn and go, hey, look, first year together, we were above 500. Yes we wanted better. But we're going to be even better next year. Mm-hmm. So the decision to go to Penix, that is why, because Schefter doesn't do this every time, but I thought it was important. He immediately said, by the way, here's what happens if they cut him. Here's what happens if they trade him. Because this now says Kirk will not be on this roster next year.
Yes.
That is exactly what this move does. And I do think Raheem Morris probably got word of like, listen to me. Like, you make this decision, okay? But your job security is going to be impacted by how things play out here. And I think now Raheem Morris is guaranteed to be back next season, Donnie, no matter how well Michael Penix ultimately plays. But I need to add this last bit.
Yeah.
For the people who are out there going, man, a lot of bad takes from people around what the Falcons did on the draft. Yeah.
Smart
you
move.
Are a buffoon. The reality was they were not supposed to pay a guy, you know, top dollar and draft a quarterback. And that was proven correct immediately. Imagine, Donnie, if all of the money that went to Kirk Cousins went elsewhere on this roster.
$50 million
spread
out. That
was the mistake. Come on.
And by the way, we had Mark Zinno on today. Great stance, because I think we talked to him about the same topic. And he said, you can't build the Titanic, watch it sink, and go, look at those lifeboats we invested in. Fantastic, man. This is why we got. You know what I mean? It was a great take. It was like, whoa, that was actually some fire right there that he just provided, because that's what you're talking about. Kevin, they told us, the general manager himself goes, we're smarter than you.
Yeah.
And you know what? If Penix doesn't play this year, that lets you know it was the right move, because Kirk Cousins is really good. Now, that's not really the way it works. You could have gotten a top flight wide receiver, like let's just say Roma Dunze got added there and maybe he's balling, which would have been great, which you wouldn't have had. But now it's like you just spent $180 million on a player that didn't actually help you through 14 games. Then you got to your rookie, which again, $50 million a year. Like, well, yeah, that's no. That's $10 million for an extra lineman, $10 million for a defensive lineman, $10 million for a linebacker, $10 million for maybe the best safety. Do you see where we're going on this? You could have five players account for Kirk Cousins' roster strategy and still have Penix play at a better level than he did.
And let me just say this, because you know what? I don't mind, Don. I'll take the challenge. The Penix pick was still terrible. They'd be better off right now if they had Jared Verse or Quinyon Mitchell, okay? The Penix pick was still absolutely terrible, and they could have turned to some cheap backup quarterback and benched Kirk.
The takes are always fire. It's what we do on Moneyline. Tomorrow is a football Friday for Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, and Chris behind the wheels of steel. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. The boys will be live on set. Pro Football Today. Tune in. Make sure you're here right on the Sports Grid Network. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.